Abhay Charan, right here, you may know him as Amarendra. He's now initiated disciple, Abhay Charan Das. He's taking responsibility to keep the program going while we're gone. Yes? Along with Vamanahari Prabhu, double-barreled leadership here. Abhay Charan, right here, you may know him as Amarendra. He's now initiated disciple, Abhay Charan Das. He's taking responsibility to keep the program going while we're gone. Yes? Along with Vamanahari Prabhu, double-barreled leadership here. So we invite you all to our regular programs every Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 10700 John Woodway. So we thought we would have some wonderful topics of discussion that would absolutely enliven everyone. I mean, isn't happiness what we're looking for? Anybody here would not like to be happy? Anyone would prefer to be miserable? Let's see a show of hands. Of all those who would prefer misery over happiness, anybody would volunteer to be miserable? That you'd rather be miserable than happy? We can send you to another room. We can have misery in the other room. Because we're going to have bliss in here. Anybody who wants bliss can stay here, and anybody who wants misery can go to the other room. I don't see anybody leaving, so everyone must want some bliss. So, all right. What is the actual bliss? Actually, we have unlimited bliss within us. Just like I was explaining recently, we were preaching in Istanbul, Turkey, in the Muslim world. We were very nicely received with this Vedic wisdom by the Muslim people. And we explained there that we were there at the what's called the Bosphorus between Europe and Asia. A beautiful flowing water between, it's called the Marmara Sea and the something other sea. So we were giving some talk there, which was shown on television here in Austin some time ago. That the within... Well, I'll explain it this way. If I told you that you have a treasure worth $10 trillion buried in your backyard, would you be interested to hear about that? $10 trillion. I mean, you could buy any politician in the world with that much money. That's a lot of money, $10 trillion. So, you could build a lot of temples, too. Maybe even a million temples. We look at the math. I mean, that's a big number, 10 trillion. So if I told you there was a fortune worth $10 trillion buried in your backyard, I'd be interested to hear about that. And if I gave you the appropriate shovel and I told you exactly where to dig, would you be even get more interested? Of course you would. You bet you would. So what I'm telling you tonight is you have a treasure right now buried in your heart which is more valuable than $10 trillion. You see, you have it right now in your heart. I don't care what your position is, what your situation is in life, whether you're wealthy, whether you're famous, whether you're sick, whether you're no one knows you, whether you're poverty stricken. I don't care what your situation. You have a wealth buried in your heart which is worth more than $10 trillion. And tonight I'm going to tell you how to tap into that wealth within your heart. So that why be in poverty when you can cash in? You have it. Your Father has left it for you. So why not take advantage of what your Father has willed to you and reap the benefits of unlimited bliss, unlimited knowledge, and eternal existence, you see? So this is what we will describe to you tonight. How to tap into that unlimited reservoir of happiness within you. Actually, the word Krishna means greatest pleasure. That's one of the ways of translating the word Krishna, greatest pleasure. So, Krishna is within our heart, then all we have to do is connect with Krishna. So, it is not difficult to connect with Krishna if you have the proper instructions. And you follow those instructions. Then you will get to... I think he wants to go to the misery room. That's all right. A little older, he'll be all right. So, the name Krishna means the greatest pleasure. So all we have to do to get that greatest pleasure is make a solid, pure connection with Krishna. Here you have a very nice lamp. Harendra Jagtiani has a very nice lamp, you see. And I noticed also that it's plugged in to the powerhouse. I think you work for the powerhouse, don't you? Yes. So he's plugging it into his own company. That lamp, if it's not plugged in, it may look very nice, but it has no practical value unless it's plugged into the powerhouse, you see. So we all have that ultimate powerhouse of Krishna within us. And we have a very nice lamp, this human form of life. It is a very nice lamp, you see. But if we're not plugged into that powerhouse, then it is useless. Shrama, as Bhagavatam says, Shrama eva hi kevalam. It is simply useless. So therefore we have to learn how to plug it in. Now a little child has no idea how to plug it in, but he can see his parents and he learns, or they show him, you know, how to. Of course when he's old enough, they're too little, they may get a shock. But once they get old enough, the parents teach them, this is how you plug it in, my dear son. You see. So just as the child has to learn how to plug the lamp in, we have to also learn how to plug ourselves into Krishna. It's not an automatic connection. When you bring the lamp home from Costco or wherever you picked it up, it doesn't automatically plug itself in. You have to take it out of the box, you've got to unwrap the cord, and you have to go through the activity of plugging it in. So this human form of life has everything available for us to taste that greatest happiness, that greatest pleasure every minute, but we have to learn how to plug it in. That's what the Vedic wisdom is for, especially the Bhagavad Gita. You see, this is the instruction manual that comes with the human form of life, which teaches us how to plug in. Is Manu come also? He's still at the shop.
He's at the shop.
Ah. Yes. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes, we are very appreciative of the athlete shop. They are big supporters of our center here in Austin. We very much appreciate Manu, Karnam Janani. How do you say? Manu Bhai, active athlete. He's give very nice support for our local center here. We very much appreciate. So, how to plug in? That's the real question then. That's the most essential question. Now, what are we taught in school? What are we taught in our modern education system? Well, we're taught how to make the lamp look very nice, how to keep it dusted very clean. But we're not taught how to plug it in. That's the problem. We're taught how to make all nice facilities for the comforts of the body, which is very good. That's all right. I mean, in this hot weather, it's good to have some cool air. Let's face it. In the cold winter, it's nice to have some warm air. But that is secondary. The primary necessity that we all have is how to connect with God, how to connect with Krishna. Because if we can do that, if we can connect with Krishna, if we can connect with God very, very solidly, then we will be completely free of anxiety in any situation. When things are going good, we'll feel happy. When things are going bad, we'll also feel happy if we're connected with God, connected with Krishna. You say, well, I'm going to arrange my life so nothing bad ever happens. Good luck. Good luck. It doesn't work that way. The laws of the material nature force us to suffer. A dear one in the family may die. You see, just like some of our devotees, they were coming back from the festival in California. Their tire blew out in their van, and one devotee was killed in El Paso driving the van and coming back to New Taliban in Mississippi. So, this material world, it is a very uncertain place. We never know when catastrophe can hit. The material nature is like that. There is always danger here at every step. Padam padam yadvavatam natesham, Bhagavatam says. There is danger at every step. So what is that safe position beyond the danger? That is when we make that solid connection with Krishna or Dhat. Uh-oh, another candidate for the misery room here. Okay, so... So, the actual system is called yoga, or linking. Yoga, in English, that word yoga has come in the form of the word yoke. It's like they connect the bull with the plow through what is called the yoke. So, the yoga, or the yoke, is that which connects us with God. There are many different types of yoga. We have heard of many types of yoga, like Hatha yoga, Kundalini yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Jnana yoga, Karma yoga, this yoga, that yoga. So many, many yogas are there, and these yogas are summarized in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna is called Yogeshwara. He is the master of yoga. So he has comparatively analyzed the various types of yoga systems in the Bhagavad Gita. And the conclusion of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes a statement. He says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmano shudhavan bhajate yomam saume yukta tamo mata. He says, of all the yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me with love and devotion, is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So Krishna is saying all these yogas are very, very nice. But when you come to the bhakti system, then you automatically, that is the highest thing. Just like if you have some financial difficulties, someone may give you $100,000, it may solve all your problems, or maybe just solve part of your problem. Mm-hmm. But if someone gives you $1 billion, and all your problems are solved. Because you may have a thousand million dollar problems, but if you have $1 billion bequest, then it's all covered, no problem. So, if you come to bhakti yoga, then you achieve all the benefits of all the yoga systems. So, the Bhagavad Gita is especially designed to teach the science known as bhakti yoga, devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. And this is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna teaches how to do bhakti. By doing bhakti, you can become the greatest yogi, even if your body is old and cannot do all the yoga asanas. Or you never did any yoga asanas, you try to do it, you just pop your knees out of joint, you just pop your joints, it's too much pain or whatever. Through this bhakti yoga system, if you perform bhakti yoga, then automatically all the results of all the yoga systems is your property. You achieve the result of all the yoga systems. So if we approach a bona fide spiritual master who knows the art of bhakti yoga, and we learn from that guru, what is the science? I have done that. I approached one such master. His divine grace, he's pictured here, up there, sitting on the yard there in our London temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He is my spiritual master. In 1971, I surrendered to him, and I have simply engaged every thought, word, and deed in his service for the last 34 years, yeah. So, by engaging in bhakti yoga system under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and this can be done in any walk of life, you don't have to be a full-time holy man or a sadhu, you can be an engineer or a housewife, a student, in any walk of life, this bhakti yoga system can be done. Just like Arjuna, he was a military man. Did he give up his military career to become bhakta? No. Actually, he wanted to quit. said, Krishna, I'm walking off the job. I can't handle this profession. Krishna said, no, you do your professional duty, but offer the result in my service. You see, that is the key. So under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, I have learned the art of how to dovetail every thought, every word, and every deed in the service of Krishna. This is the key. We think, well, Krishna is fine, you know, once a week, once a month, once a year, but, you know, I have my own life to live. If we think like that, we're cheating ourselves, because actually each and every one of us has a unique personal relationship with Krishna. Each one of us has what is called svarup, or an eternal identity. We've forgotten what it is, but each and every one of us, we're not male, we're not female, we're not American, we're not Indian, we're not Gujarati, we're not Sindhi, or all these things, you see. We're actually jivara svarupa hai, Krishnera nityadas. You understand? The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is Krishna's eternal servant. So if we can somehow reawaken that long-lost consciousness of who we actually are beyond all these changes of body, then we become what's known as enlightened spiritual being. And you can do that as a businessman, a housewife, a full-time preacher. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You can become a fully spiritually enlightened being who tastes the highest happiness and who is blessing this entire planet just by your presence here, because you're always bringing Krishna. You're always manifesting Krishna in all of your thoughts, all your words, and all your deeds. That's the greatest blessing you can bestow upon the suffering humanity, is to always be Krishna conscious. Because that's why the whole world is suffering. Actually, everything is there. There's enough money, there's enough food. You may say, but so many people are starving. But actually, how much food is being thrown away? Look in the garbage cans in America. See how much food is being thrown away. It's just not being distributed properly, that's all. We're taking huge amounts of grains to fatten up the cows so we can devour their flesh. If those grains were fed to human beings, the cows can eat grass. They don't need to eat our grains. The cows can eat the grass that we cannot eat. And those grains can be shipped to starving people all over the world. All we have to do is become a vegetarian country, you see. If America became vegetarian, and we ship those grains to all the suffering people, we could feed all the hungry people of the world, you see. But because we're very lusty, no, I like the taste of meat. It tastes good. I like that blood and flesh, you see. Therefore, we suffer so many karmic reactions also. Because we're forcing the animals into the slaughterhouse, then we also get slaughtered in 9-1-1, you see. It's called law of karma. If you slaughter the innocent creatures, then you must also become slaughtered. That's what happens to us. We become slaughtered also. We slaughter the innocent creatures. So, if we can reestablish that lost loving relationship with God, then we'll be completely happy with a simple vegetarian diet. We won't need all these liquor and meat and cigarettes and nightclubs. It's a world society. We can be totally happy just chanting the names of God and associating with saintly devotees and hearing the wonderful Vedic wisdom. There's still pockets of it in India. If we go to Vrindavan, the land of Krishna, still in the nightlife in Vrindavan is not the nightclubs. It's the temples. There's thousands of temples in Vrindavan, a few very big ones and a lot of little tiny ones. But in the nightlife comes, everyone's going for darshan. This temple for darshan, this temple. The most popular is our Krishna Balaram Mandir now. Thousands of people. In the evening time, especially during the month of Kartik, you can hardly get into the temple. It's very, very crowded. Hundreds and hundreds of people. It's like a traffic jam in front of the temple. We built that temple there. It was out in the remote edge of town where nobody ever came there. It was like a deserted area. And now it's back like in New York City, because Prabhupada built the Krishna Balaram temple there, and now everybody is coming. becoming the center of the activity now in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple. So we can have the social life, we can have the nice food, the nice entertainments, all the things we enjoy, all the cultural events that we enjoy, we can still have those. And if we make Krishna or God the center of those, then we become enlightened beings, free from all the anxieties of material existence. So this is our request in the Hare Krishna movement, the Krishna consciousness movement. We're not saying you have to, you know, wear dhotis, that you have to shave your head. We're not saying that. But we're saying, make Krishna the center of your life. That's all we're saying. Just make Krishna the center of your life. Not just a theory, but in practice. Learn how to actually do the science of bhakti yoga. When you wake up in the morning, you immediately can connect with Krishna, and you're connected in all of your activities throughout the entire day. The practical science of bhakti yoga. That science, Prabhupada is teaching in the wonderful books that he has given, and his disciples and grand disciples throughout the world who are strictly following these teachings, they are available to you here in Austin and in all the other cities of the world to guide you how to practically implement these wonderful teachings that Prabhupada has given us, how to be purely absorbed in Krishna bhakti 24 hours a day. This pure devotion is very important, because our normal tendency is, yes, I'm very devoted to God. I come every semester and pray for good grades. I'm very devoted. Is that devotion to God or devotion to grades? You see what I mean? So, devotion means a haituki bhakti, without asking anything in return. You see, this is pure bhakti. Not that I come to you, my Lord, I want this, 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 this. Gimme, 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 gimme. No. Pure devotion means I simply come and I surrender myself to you. You can do anything you want with me. I'm your servant. That's all. Finished. Lord Chaitanya prays like that. He says, my dear Lord, you may handle me roughly by your embrace, or you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You are my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That is called pure bhakti. And that's the only thing that can actually satisfy the heart. Because we are meant to have pure bhakti. Simply giving, 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 giving. This is the mood of Vrindavan. Just like we see, Jashoda, Kirti Da. What does Da mean? Giving. This mood of taking, material consciousness means taking. I'm going to take as much as I can give. I'm going to grab as much as I can, as fast as I can. You see, that's called material life. Spiritual life is just the opposite. Who can give the most? That is the most spiritually advanced person. Who can give the most? Give, 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 give. The one who is the greatest giver, he is the greatest bhakta. He is the most dear to Krishna. The one who can give the most. So this we have to learn. Our mood is to approach God for taking, 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 taking. But that is not pure bhakti. That is karma mishra bhakti. Or if we are elevated to the philosophical platform, it is called jnana mishra bhakti. But the pure bhakti has no desire for jnana, no desire for karma, simply wants to please Krishna, that's all. Nothing else. Simply wants to please Krishna. That may every thought be pleasing to the Lord, may every word that comes out of my mouth be pleasing to Krishna, and may every activity I perform with my body in all times, all places, and all circumstances be absolutely, totally pleasing to Krishna. That is pure bhakti. And that, I guarantee you, if you come to that state of consciousness, you will experience what is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Brahma Saukhyam Tvanantam. That spiritual happiness which goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. Brahma Saukhyam. So that's the happiness we were talking about, which is more valuable than $10 trillion. And you have it available in your heart right now. If you want to access it, you have to approach through pure bhakti. You see, we can teach you how to do that. Prabhupada has trained us what is pure bhakti, and we can teach you how to do pure bhakti if you want to learn this. And that's why we have our center here. That's why we have our activity. That's why we have our books. We simply want to give you this formula for pure bhakti, because if you get pure bhakti, you will become, your happiness will know no bounds. Unbounded, unlimited happiness. Beyond your wildest imagination, what that happiness can be, it will exceed it by thousands and millions of times. You see? And we're all enjoyers by nature. We all agreed at the beginning of our discussion. If anybody who's not after happiness, you can go to the misery room. So everybody is looking for happiness, and we have it. We have it. We can give it to you. If you're willing to read these books of Srila Prabhupada and follow the instructions, we can guarantee you, you will achieve unlimited happiness. So that's about it. I think I've said everything I can say. I mean, it's all there in a nutshell now. 25-minute nutshell or whatever it was. I think we've given you, in a summary form, the whole essence of the Vedic wisdom. Of course, if anybody has some questions, we can try to answer them. Yes?
This has
nothing to do with what you just said. I'm going to put my hearing aids in. Let me just hang on. Make it a little easier here. Let me find them where I put them. Go ahead. Just someone can pass the question on me. What is he saying? You tell me in my turn. What's he saying?
What's the story of Lord Jagannath?
Oh, the story of Lord Jagannath. Actually, the whole story is available. We're going to put it on TV. Do you have cable TV at your house?
Yeah.
You do? You have cable TV?
No.
If you come to the temple, it's like a half-hour TV show. I have it on a DVD, and you can sit down and watch it the next time you come to the temple. The whole story is given. It's a long story. And it's a beautiful drama done by some little children in Britain. They did this wonderful drama of Lord Jagannath. It's so nicely done by children your age. They've done it very beautifully and wonderfully, and I could let you watch that DVD when the next time you come to the Hare Krishna Center. So I just have to stay after Prasadam, and I can set it up and you can watch it. It's very, very nice. I was just editing, just working on that tonight before I came over, actually. We're getting ready to put that on television here in Austin. We have our weekly show every Saturday morning on Channel 11 at 10 a.m. Huh? Balaram Jayanti is coming up when?
Friday
of the next Friday? Next Friday, the Hare Krishna Center, we will have, and those of you who have not seen, we have a beautiful marble temple room now. A beautiful altar we got from India, and the whole temple room is marble floor. It's just, you come in, you feel like you're in some ancient Indian temple. I mean, it's really, really something. The atmosphere in that temple room now is unbelievable. Beautiful marble. And it's just really, really beautiful. Big, huge, how many feet wide altar? The whole room, the whole width of the room, this huge, beautiful altar, with, you know, from a teak wood altar from India and marble. It's just beautiful. So please come and relish the sweet atmosphere. So, any other questions besides the story of Lord Jagannath? I can give you in a nutshell that... There was a question back here.
Just wanted to know, you mentioned the lectures are available on the internet on the website.
Spiritual-revolutionary.com. Spiritual and then dash, you know. Spiritual-revolutionary.com.
Also, the platform.com
My world famous e-course, the Ultimate Self-Realization Course, is available at backtohome.com, or if you just give me your name and email address on a piece of paper, I'll save you the trouble of having to even do it. We'll give you the American Instant Nirvana program. Make it very easy. Just give your name and email address, and tomorrow morning you'll get your first installments in your email box. So that somebody can produce one piece of paper, and you can write. Or you have a piece of paper. Just write your name and email address in clear block letters, so I can read everything. So Jagannath, there's a whole story, but actually, one king wanted that some deities would be made, and they found one sculptor. And the sculptor made one condition. He said, "You have to let me finish the work. If you interrupt me in the middle, then I will quit." So the king was very, very impatient to see the deities, and finally he just lost control of himself. He was hearing from behind closed doors the tap, tap, tap of the sculptor chipping away at the wood. And the chipping stopped, and he wondered, what's going on? He lost control of himself, and he went in, and the sculptor said, "Okay, you've come in now, I'm gone, finished." So the deities were not finished. And he said, "Okay, I'll worship them in this form." But it's an interesting other pastime of Krishna when he was in Dwarka, after leaving Vrindavan. You know, he was a village boy in Vrindavan, and then he went to the city and became a king. Our country boy, Krishna, he became a city boy. He went to Dwarka and became a city boy. So he became a big king, but he was always hankering for those days of his youth when he lived in Vrindavan with Nanda Baba and Yashoda Mata and the gopis, the gopas, the cows, the calves. Krishna always lamented and he pined in his heart for those days, because even though he was very happily situated with all these beautiful queens in Dwarka, they never satisfied him like the gopis. He always missed his Vrindavan pastimes. So who was telling the story? There was two ladies, Rohini. Rohini and Devaki, they were part of the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna, huh?
Rohini was, yes.
So now they are both in Dwarka, and Rohini must be telling Devaki, yes, about, because she was a witness to the Vrindavan pastimes. See, Devaki was in Mathura. So she was hearing all these pastimes, and then who first eavesdropped?
Krishna
was listening in to this Vrindavan Leela. And he went into total ecstasy. His eyes became very big. His limbs sucked within his body. And he went into this ecstatic condition. He lost his external consciousness. And he developed bodily features just like the Jagannath deity. And then who came next? And then Balaram came. What's happened to Krishna? So he was listening in, and the same thing happened to him. His eyes got real big, his arms sucked in. His little stumps were all that was left. Everything got sucked in like a turtle, you know, withdrawing his limb. He went into this state of ecstasy. You see, like the Balaram deity. And then Subhadra came along, and the same thing happened to her. So all three of them went into total ecstasy hearing about the Vrindavan pastimes. So that's actually a form of Krishna. What you see that looks very unusual, not like a human form, is actually Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra in a state of ecstasy. So, Jagannath is Krishna being separated from Vrindavan and in that mood of ecstatic feelings of separation from Vrindavan. That is Jagannath. And when Lord Chaitanya engaged in the Rath Yatra festival in Puri, he would pull Jagannath in the mood, just like the gopis. They were feeling great pain of separation from Krishna. There was one solar eclipse, and the Brijavasis came. It was at Kurukshetra. Solar eclipse. So the Brijavasis came, and the Dwarkavasis, they also, everyone came to Kurukshetra. And the gopis, they're again seeing Krishna, but he's not wearing the peacock feather, and he's like a king now. They were looking at him, well, he's Krishna, but he really isn't the Krishna that we... They were thinking, we want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. This Krishna is not our Krishna. This is all right, but, you know, this is not our Krishna. We're not really satisfied seeing this Krishna. So the gopis were in this mood. They want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. That is the real Krishna for them. No other Krishna will do. Only the Vrindavan Krishna. So, the Ratha Yatra festival of pulling the cart is relished by advanced devotees, not just some festival of pulling a cart down the street. But it's actually relished by advanced devotees as the mood, being in the mood of the gopis wanting to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So this Jagannath is Krishna in the mood of intense separation, feeling intense, what's known as ecstatic separation from Vrindavan. It's hard to, the mundane mind cannot accommodate how intense anguish can be the highest form of ecstasy, but actually it is. So he was in a state of intense anguish of separation and relishing the highest ecstasy all at the same time. And so that tells a little bit something about Jagannath. And the details of the story, more details will be available when you come to the temple. Yeah.
One more question.
Yeah. Why Jagannath has a smile?
No, he always has a smile on his face.
Yes, that is his ecstatic mood of Vrindavan consciousness. There's no greater ecstasy than remembering, especially when Krishna remembers his own Vrindavan pastimes. He has a very big smile. There's nothing sweeter. Krishna's greatest joy is his Vrindavan Leela. So when he's absorbed in remembering Vrindavan Leela, he has very, very big smile.
I think that was part of his question.
Yeah?
Some more question.
Yes.
He said, but you said, and that's where he stopped.
Any questions more? Did anyone else have questions? Okay, so they say that ours is not simply dry philosophy. Anything else? Arti. Okay, then Arati time. Jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Maybe you can leave. You, Mataji, you can leave the kirtan. I can try to play the harmonium. I'll never close it without letting the air out. Didn't pop a hole in the bellows. Okay. Ruin it. You know. After 20 years, it can become ruined, so be careful. You don't want to ruin it.
Can you sing it?
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can play it during the art. Manaji's going to lead the kirtan. Let's see if I can play it.